Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts, to the Playing Through Golf podcast. My name is William Starchvich, and I am joined with the usual suspects.
Chris Lewis.
Travis White.
All right, well, we're in mid-March now. The weather's starting to clear a little bit. A few of the golf courses around here are starting to open up.
Thank God.
I just got back from a trip in Arizona where I got to play a couple times on real turf, which was nice.
Nice. And how'd you play?
One of them was a little suspect, and the other one wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be without, you know, not playing real golf for a while.
Right.
So I wasn't overly disappointed, you know, seeing as how we'd only been hitting off, you know, turf mats for the last, what, 5 months?
Five months.
So, no, it was a good time. You know, got to see some family and stuff, and plus, you know, get the hell out of here for a few weeks.
Yeah, why not? Because, I mean, the weather is a little different this year than it was last year. By this time last year, we already had 3 rounds outdoors.
Did we really?
Yeah.
We'd gone down to Peoria the first week of March, but I couldn't remember where we were at.
And we played at Country View a couple of times already. And so, but tomorrow, maybe we'll get out.
Yeah, we're going to try to get out tomorrow.
For sure. And
I don't think Travis has got some work obligations tomorrow, but Wednesday he might be able to join us.
Maybe.
Yeah. Depending on, you know, he's in demand.
I think we're ready because our indoor play is starting to suffer.
Man, it was bad. We filmed our countdown to the Masters yesterday, which is only 24 days from now, roughly, 23 and
bring it
10 hours or whatever.
Yep.
So we'll be dropping that soon. But if you're looking for stellar golf, you may want to tune in somewhere else because that was not stellar.
It's not going to happen here at the studio.
Yeah, it was rough. And, of course, you know,
sucked.
Augusta setup is tough anyway. But when you're not hitting at your best. Like, I had a lot of good holes strung together, but then a couple of them ended up being triples and quads. So
you had two quads.
I had two quads and still, I'll just.
I lost. Again.
You won by two. I was down by two. And
yeah,
Travis was down
it was
by
still
four.
Good. Hey, so, you know, a lot of the stuff going on right now has a lot to do with Phil Mickelson and kind of the PIP and the Saudi Golf League. So let's start with the PIP because it's more of a feel-good kind of thing. And the winner of the PIP, which what does the PIP stand for?
So it's a player improvement or player impact
program, I think.
Yeah, player impact program. And basically it's there just to, you know, how much, you know, of a footprint these players are leaving social media wise, you know, ad wise, whatever. And, you know, and it rewards them for having popularity, I guess.
And it's a good idea for the PGA to do this because everything is, you know, social media driven now.
Right.
And you could even say, you know, it influences elections if you want to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
So having it out there, everybody carries around their social media platform in their pocket for the most part. You know, all day, it's never that far from your hand, right?
No.
You plug it in, it's right next to your bed because you use it as an alarm clock or music or whatever it is.
Right.
So the idea of getting, you know, the PGA players out there or the professional golfers out there on social media trying to be active and grow the game that way, I think is a great idea. Now, who won the PIP?
Tiger.
Tiger Woods. So a year ago, just over a year ago, Tiger Woods was in his accident. So he hasn't played a competitive round of golf.
Minus the
father-son, which I don't know if we'll consider that. It was still golf.
Yeah, I mean, it's still golf.
He hasn't played a PGA event.
Right.
So I know some of the players were a little bitter that Tiger won it. And I don't know the rationale behind it, but all I can think is that, hey, this is actually for players and not guys who are on a medical exemption right now.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a lot of it. But I also think, I mean, there's a tinge of jealousy there, too. I mean, Tiger's still as popular now as he has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say that, you know, your younger players who are very dominant on social media, the Harry Higgs of the world, the Max Homas, the Joel Diamonds,
and
even Ian Poulter. I mean, these guys have a good following.
Yeah, even though Ian Poulter's about the same age as Tiger. I think they're a couple years difference.
And Phil, of course, was in there, you know.
Yep.
And I mean, you had some.
Yeah, Phil actually came in second.
Yeah, I mean, you had some older players in there, but then you go down the line, and it's a lot of the younger generation guys, and I understand they're a little mad. And Morikawa, I think, ended up just being on the outside of it all,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's been one of the more popular players in the last year
and
a half.
And he's only 23, 24.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a little bit there. And, I mean, and honestly, does Tiger really need the money?
No.
No.
I think that's a lot of it.
So, Tiger, I think the payout was $3 million for the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going
to go ahead and say that $8 million, Tiger probably earns that in dividends.
Yeah.
Through his regular
interest.
Yeah, and his interest rate.
Yeah.
Like, he's not hurting.
No, not at all. And I mean, and when I first saw that, I'm like, he doesn't need the money. I mean, what's the point?
Right. And see, here's the thing is, I know Phil had posted some stuff early,
saying
a little bit early.
Yeah, claiming he was the winner.
Yeah, claiming he was the winner. And then Tiger, of course, had some digs. But at that same time that that was happening, like right before the release of that, we had some announcements about the Saudi Golf Tour, right?
Yep. Yep.
And Phil kind of putting his foot in his mouth about a few things, trying to tout this the Saudi Golf League, which pays players an exorbitant amount of money to come play in Saudi Arabia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to develop another league there that pays the players more, or at least the big name players.
Right.
And you know, the tour of course was against this, but Phil and some other players were trying to weigh the options.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys know exactly what happened, what Phil brought up that kind of put him on the outs with everybody?
Well, and it wasn't that he was giving a press conference and said this stuff. This was stuff for a book that was coming out.
Yes.
And so the author of the, you know, the co-author of that book brought out what Phil said about the Saudi League and, you know, said, hey, you know, you have to think about what the Saudis have done, what their human rights violations in history have been. And how can you go and play for in a country, you know, that has that kind of a record?
Right.
And Phil's like, yeah, he goes, those guys are scary.
Yeah.
He goes, but this is a chance to change the PGA Tour. And then the whole world blew
just
up.
The way he said it was.
Yeah, so here's my take on it. Phil, this basically came out the week of the Genesis Invitational at Riviera.
Right.
So Phil came out, and like you said, the quote from the book is, he admitted, they're scary mother effers, is what he said.
Yep. Right.
Well, Saudi Arabia has a long history. Like I said, we're not a political show.
Right.
Saudi Arabia has a long history of human rights violations.
Right.
And the only reason that we overlook that is, let's be totally honest, for oil prices.
Oil. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've got a lot of money. And
a lot of money.
And I know a lot of people, like I'm going to go say majority of Americans are really sick of our political system as it is.
Yeah.
And
agreed.
The indifference they show as long as it lines their pockets. And I think that's the major flaw with Phil right now, is he was willing to overlook that to line his already lined pockets.
Yep.
Right.
And it really had a hit on him because he's been a popular golfer. For when did he win as an amateur, Chris? In the early 90s,
early
like 91, 92,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, way back, yeah.
So, and I know we covered this before. I remember what he won, what he would have won in his first win,
mm-hmm.
He didn't claim the money because he was still an amateur, was $180,000. So now, his career earnings are astronomical. And then you throw in what he's already got on endorsements, which now he has a few less.
Right.
But as a money grab, which is what this sounds like it was, he was willing to overlook the things that the Saudi Arabian government has done to people just to line his pockets even further.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the disdain for that is what's made him, you know, persona non grata now.
And I think he overestimated the views of this people in this country, you
mm-hmm.
know, because it's not just him that's doing these kind. What is the matter with both of you?
I'm looking at my glass. I had to pull my glasses up so I could read this.
So
it's a new thing, you know. Since I turned 50, now I've got prescription glasses. I can't.
Well, I have trifocals.
Well, wow.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Hmm.
But I think that he overestimated I guess you could say, even the political climate of this country, that, you know, people would, because I mean, it's been going on enough, you know, in the last, let's just say 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have groups of people that are overlooking certain things in order to make money. And he overestimated and figured a majority of Americans would be right on there with him, or the majority of the golfers would be right there with him.
No, a majority of the elitists are probably with him.
Yep.
And
they,
you know,
were until this happened,
right.
And then they all backed out.
And now his whole thing is, oh, well, that was meant to be off the record. Nothing is off the record.
Ever.
Not if you're
ever.
Writing a book.
Nope.
Not if you're writing a book.
And it was that supposed to soften the blow for, you know, the Saudi Arabian government killed a reporter.
Yeah.
Killed him. Beheaded the dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let alone what they do to their normal folks. I mean, this guy was actually an American.
Right.
But anyway, so it you reap what you sow, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah. I was always a big Phil fan. I loved the way he played. You know, that, you know, riverboat gambler style. I loved it.
Yeah.
But you can't be saying stuff like that, man. And if that's how you've really felt your entire time, then you know what? Maybe the PGA Tour isn't for you.
Right.
And the commissioner has said as such.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to come back and play on the PGA Tour, we're going to have a sit down.
Yeah. I mean, and I think a lot of players came out. I mean, Rory was one of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, came out. You know, but Rory also played two sides of the coin.
He did. You know, he was walking a fence.
Yeah, he was walking a fence. First he hammers him, but then he says everybody deserves to be forgiven for this and that and the other. You know, but then, you know, I think what really kind of cemented a lot of things was Greg Norman then throwing his two cents in and writing a letter to the PGA saying, you know, he's literally making not so veiled threats about lawsuits and everything else. And
go ahead
and throw him, you know, and of course we've had this conversation about what Norman's problem is, and we all think
he's sour,
you know, he's angry, and he's, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like you've been at the top of the mountain, and now you're at the bottom of the mountain. You know, people do wear your shirt still there, bud.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But your name's not mentioned much with the greats because, well, let's face it, you're choked.
Yeah,
you choked.
You never won a major.
You never won a major. He's a pretty savvy businessman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but again, I think he's with Phil. He's overestimating that there are a lot of unhappy players that want to go make money, and that's all they really are there for. They're not there for the prestige that is offered by
you. Want to play against the best players in the world. Mm-hmm. So, well, they do. I don't. I want to play with you guys.
Well,
that sounded odd. That's phrasing.
Yeah, phrasing.
That was weird.
Phrasing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, so
maybe after another beer.
One more beer. So let's go on to some happier news here. It is going to tie a little bit to this. Like I said, with Phil's making $180,000 or what he would have made on his first win, well, shortly after that, Tiger Woods came on the scene. Mm-hmm. And coinciding with that was Tim Fincham, mm-hmm. who was the commissioner of the PGA. And they basically went through this together. But we were just talking about what the payout is for this week's tournament players at Sawgrass. Mm-hmm. The winner is getting
$3.3 million
for winning that tournament. Now, it is considered the fifth major, but $3.3 million, I'm not sure what the average winner payout is, but it's well over $1 million on regular tour events. Well over $1 million, that can be directly related to Tiger Woods. Just as a quick reference, Phil in the early 90s would have won $180,000. Now their winners are well over $1 million per, and even just making the cut and finishing the weekend, Travis, was what? If you came in last this week, it was like $45,000.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm not sure what the median income in America is. I'm assuming it's
about 41.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's probably pretty close to that. But so for them to be arguing over money when that's actually what the PGA purse has come to,
right.
Which you can directly relate to Tiger Woods and Tim Fincham, mm-hmm. who happen to have been inducted, both of them in the same class, mm-hmm. inducted into the PGA or into the Professional Golfers Hall of Fame,
right.
this last week. Which I thought was really cool that he had his kids there with him, his mom, his daughter, who's 14, I think,
yep.
is the one who inducted him, which means she was on the stage and brought him up. And
very well-spoken.
Very well-spoken, let alone being a 14-year-old girl mm-hmm. Standing on the stage knowing that there's millions of people watching it.
Yeah, I mean,
good for her.
She didn't show a bit of nervousness
nope.
at all.
No, you can tell she's Charlie's sister.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, like, exactly.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I'm glad she took her opportunity on the stage and ran with it and did well.
Some smart ass said, you know, she's going to be running for president in about 16 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I think it'd have to be
32.
No,
it'd
be 18 years.
18 years. So I just thought that it was cool that they put him and, you know, Tiger and Fincham together because, you know, Fincham, I don't want to say rode on the coattails, but he made the most of it. And the way he did that was the sponsorships, mm-hmm. the tying it in with some of the other events, like getting, you know, like this, the one we're watching today with the Sawgrass. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fifth major, but it's not an official major, but it's still, you win there, it gives you exemptions into majors and it gives you tour exemptions that you are further than what the regular tour, plus the payout on it.
Right.
And they think
which
it's,
is why you draw
it's the
that,
huge.
I mean, you draw yep. the top 50
yep.
plus, you know, anybody else after that, you know, top 50 on the PGA, but then you also draw
the world rankings.
Yeah, top European players, top Asian players, so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's very prestigious because it's their championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at it as such. Like, it's a well-run event, a huge payout. It's a great course.
Yeah, unfortunately, mm-hmm. they've just had some really fun weather this weekend.
Yeah, so it's Monday morning, and they're still not done.
Finishing up the fourth round.
So it's...
with the PGA?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to talk about the...
Oh, Bay Hill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Arnold Palmer?
Yeah, the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler won it. He was
That's
five
my
under,
guy.
Five under. Three-way tie for second.
That's his second of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, second win, back-to-back weeks.
Is it back-to-back?
Yep.
Victor Hovland, Hatton, and Billy Horschel were tied for second.
Billy Horschel.
I don't like that.
Hatton
guy.
And Horschel, the two biggest hotheads on the tour.
You know.
And Gary Woodland.
It's good
five.
To see him back.
Yeah, Gary Woodland, good guy. And a matter of fact, a buddy of mine was talking about Gary Woodland. He was like, wow, this guy's really playing. I was like, you got to look into Gary Woodland a little bit. Really good guy. Came on kind of like a Brooks Koepka early.
Yep.
You know, big bomber, more of an athlete type guy.
A former college basketball player.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And plus the thing that he did at 16 at Scottsdale a few years ago, it still tugs at my heartstrings a little bit.
Right.
But I was telling him, like, how good a guy he was. He's like, oh, and look at this Billy Horschel. I'm like, totally opposite.
Yep.
That guy comes across as a total, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, D-bag.
Yep, he's a total D-bag.
Total D-bag.
Was it a major when he was bitching and complaining about the greens?
Yeah.
I can't remember where
it was.
Was it Aaron Hills? No.
No, it was the one that was on the Pacific Northwest.
Well, he would putt, and then he said PGA got it wrong because the line.
Yeah, this is borderline unfair, and I bullshit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What really chapped my ass with him, like all that stuff aside, like he's been outside the ropes and yelling at fans, and that's why I'm over here, and you just stay on that side. And
yeah, meet me in the parking lot, bro.
What he did here is just reinforces his douchebaggery.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I sent you the guy's thing about how he treats his caddy.
Yep, that's what I'm talking about.
You know, yeah, I mean, he's just treating it. I mean, but I'm sorry. If you're complaining about conditions of a tournament golf course, all right, and you are at the bottom of the pile, but somebody is 12 strokes ahead of you.
Yeah.
All right. How can you? I mean, how does that not look like you just being a complete ass?
Yeah. That's
that you know you're blaming the course for you playing like crap.
Yep.
You know.
Where did Jordan Spieth win? Was it? I want to say Whistling Straits, but like Bandon Dunes or something. It was one of those courses up there that his complaint was that there's two different varieties of turf on there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, first of all, I think it was a U.S. Open. I'm like, hey, it's supposed to be tough, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was, again, at the bottom of the pile, but he came out just spewing venom.
Yeah.
Well, he really, you know, set a wrong tone then, but he's continued that with his behavior. And then what he did to his caddy, it was windy, rainy, crazy conditions, and it was on 17, right?
Right.
So an island green.
Yep.
His caddy gives him a 7-iron. He hits it over the green and then yells at his caddy saying, I flight the ball better than anybody in the world. I could make this shot. Dude, then do it.
Yeah.
You're swinging the club.
Hey, look, Junior, like, if you can flight a ball better than everybody, how many wins do you have in the last 3 years?
Like one.
One.
You know, I mean, it's guys like that that just, you know, they just burn your rear end because.
And it's because they think they're God's gift to everything.
Yeah.
And it just really is irritating.
Yeah, I mean, and we've had this conversation just on public golf courses when people would come into the clubhouse and say, well, those sand traps are crap.
Oh, yeah.
Well, don't hit into them.
Yeah, well, they're also a hazard.
Yeah.
They can be crap because they're a hazard,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about the history of golf, I mean, it hasn't always been this pretty.
The history of golf would be a bunker was actually from where sheep were bedding.
Yeah.
So you think they had some good preferred lies in there, do you?
No, yeah, no, I mean, they weren't raked.
No, and I think when... We'll talk about this later, but the memorial with Jack's course, he actually took wood rakes and removed the center tine so it would be more penal because a long rake mark where it would actually sit down.
Right.
A bunker should be half a stroke penalty is what is in his mind, which who's to argue with Jack about this?
Right.
It shouldn't be perfectly manicured where it's sitting up nice and fluffy.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things that chaps my hide as a 25-year golf maintenance guy.
Yeah, you said it. It's a hazard.
Yep.
All right. I mean, it's just like water. All right. Are you going to complain about that the water's too wet?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, seriously.
This rough is too thick. I wish it was fairway height. Well, then hit it in the goddamn fairway.
Yeah. Hit it in the fairway.
That's why it's there.
Yeah. Right?
Don't hit it in the water. Don't hit it in the sand. Don't hit it into the trees.
You know why it's called rough because it's that height. Otherwise, we would call it an easy.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we as regular golfers, I mean, even on virtual, I mean, we get into these things. All right, our scores are going to be fine if we don't hit into them.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
You know, because, I mean, how many did you and I hit on 18 the other night?
We directly relate. Like, one of the benefits of playing in here is it keeps our stats for us because when we're actually playing, I don't really keep my stats that much.
Right.
But you can look at it at the end of the round with your fairways and your greens and reg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go hand in hand. If your fairways... If fairways hit are up, your greens and reg are going to be up.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, your scores will be better.
Yep.
But
if they're not, you know what's not working.
Yes.
My fairways have been great.
Great.
But
and
my greens and reg.
So we know your iron.
My iron play
has
just
not been
horse
there.
Crap. Yeah. So I mean, there's direct correlations with all that.
So
all around, my play's been horseshit.
So one more thing before we wrap this up.
Should we bring up his greens in regulation or?
Oh yeah, no. You go ahead and you guys talk your stats. I got something to pull up here.
What was your fairways in regulation yesterday?
Yes, fairways.
Yeah, fairways. Was it 22?
22.
22% and greens in regulation?
11.
11%.
My greens in regulation were right where yours were at. Because I was 75% in the fairway and still only 22% onto the green.
So bad.
All right. So bad. So one thing I wanted to wrap this up with, and I'm gonna try to make this a weekly thing. And since we're in Illinois, I'm gonna lead with Illinois, then we'll probably go to Iowa and then I'll go in alphabetic order. But I wanted to kind of go through and maybe highlight some of the best golfers from each state. And the way that I'm looking at this is, for Illinois, I'm going right to the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And some of the players that they have in here are people that have spent time in Illinois, not necessarily are from Illinois.
Not like, necessarily born and raised?
Not a born and bred kind of Illinois guy. But as I went through the list, there's a couple on here that I think personally may be the best golfer that's from Illinois.
Right.
So, or at least the most influential. Now, there's a whole bunch of people on here that I'll be totally honest, I don't know who they are. I'm assuming that they were big in the golf industry in Chicago because that's where it was.
Or they won the state amateur or something like that. Yeah.
But the ones that do stand out to me are Tommy Armour, who's actually was born in Scotland, but he was a golf pro here for 20 years.
Yeah.
He's in there. And one player that stands out to me personally that is probably he would be my number one for the most popular influential golfer in Illinois would be D.A. Weibring.
Okay.
D.A. Weibring from Illinois, played at Illinois State. Actually, I believe he was born in Quincy. Played at Illinois State, and he's been a golf course architect for a long time and a local course here that hosts a PGA event, TPC at Deer Run, was designed by D.A.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've met him a couple times, so that even a little bit further for me, but he was a five-time winner.
Are you a fanboy?
No, just the fact that he was cool then.
Right.
And I'll give you the little story about him. That
he's a fanboy.
Okay.
He was still playing at the Classic, or not the Classic then, it was
Hardee's.
Hardee's. Uh-huh. So he's won there four times, and he won one other event. I can't remember exactly where. But so he has five PGA wins. The time that he came in, we were still doing the construction at Deer Run. The clubhouse was done, but there was no furniture in it. There was no carpet. There was none of that. The golf course was, I think we were had everything, first cuts on everything. Everything was seeded. We were just in the process of getting it to mature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the week of the event, a bunch of people came over. They toured the course, you know, on their little trucksters, you know, the VIP parade.
Right.
Well, he came back the next day, and he had a steak dinner catered, all the fixings, all that stuff, just for the maintenance guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all sitting in the clubhouse while he was playing in the event. Like, the event was still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over after he played and had this whole thing set up for us, just the maintenance guys.
Right.
And he sat there the entire time with us. We were there for probably an hour and a half or 2 hours. He had a keg there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like the whole thing.
Was it Busch Light?
I don't remember. I do remember it floating before we left because I had to go, the maintenance guy, I had to go up there and clean up all that shit the next day. But it was still... And I was like, oh, hey, we might take this keg home. And I was literally one hand in it. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Jesus.
We drained that keg yesterday.
I would have been disappointed had the maintenance.
We killed it. There was probably, at that point, I bet there was 25 or 30 of us on staff for the grow-in there.
Mm-hmm.
And which blows your mind now, right, Travis? Can you imagine having 25 or 30 guys on a golf course?
No shit.
Right? That's a lot of guys. Well, when I was in California, we had two golf courses, and we had 50 guys.
Yeah.
Like, we walk mode everything, though. Anyway, that was one of my highlights with DA. He came, took the time. He didn't have to.
Right.
You know, PGA guy. And he's sitting there with us, and it at least spoke some volumes to me about how he was as a person, let alone his playing credentials.
Right.
And the fact that he's still actively, you know, designing golf courses.
Right.
Now, somebody that wasn't on here is Todd Hamilton.
I was just going to say, is Todd Hamilton on
here? Todd Hamilton is not on here. Jay Haas is, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jay Haas, probably, you know, not probably.
That's was Bill Haas's dad, right?
Right.
Okay.
A better player, probably, than D.A., mm-hmm. or at least career-wise.
Right.
But, I don't know, just the way that D.A. presented to me and what the things he had done, I thought was kind of my guy.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have anybody else that you could think of that from Illinois. Yeah, that's...
Well, doesn't Paul Casey hang out in Chicagoland? Isn't he a Northwestern guy?
Luke Donald was a Northwestern guy.
So there's like one guy that, I mean, you have a few of those guys that are just kind of here. But, I mean, I don't really hear about a whole lot of Illinois golfers.
Well, who was the captain of the Ryder Cup last year?
Captain of the Ryder Cup?
Steve Stricker.
Steve Stricker.
Yeah, but he's from Wisconsin. He played at the University of Illinois. Right. Otherwise, he would have been my guy.
Yeah. Right.
But he's not considered an Illinois golfer.
Well, in Hamilton, I mean, he won a British Open. And, I mean, talk about a nice guy.
Yeah, totally
He's a really nice guy. I mean, I walked with him during the Classic. You know, when he was playing with Daly and...
Wasn't he from Oquaka?
Oquaka. Mm-hmm.
So that's a rural area. What is that?
I still think he runs a golf course down there. His family runs a golf course.
They used to, but it's closed. It's been closed for a long time. But yeah, so that was one of them that I thought about too, but I couldn't find him on here.
Yeah.
And really, I think that was probably his only...
I mean, he won on the Asian Tour, which is where he came from. I mean, he wasn't like a regular PGA guy. He was an Asian Tour guy.
So more of a local guy would have been, you know, Todd Hamilton.
Todd Hamilton.
British Open winner, and probably, I'm going to take a stab here and say that was in probably, what, Chris, 96, 97, 98, something like that.
That was mid-90s.
So, and not much since, but, hey, you won a major. You won the Open.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, an honorable mention to Todd Hamilton, but D.A. Weibring is my guy.
Yeah. All
right. So, anyway, that was it, guys. Are we ready to tee it up and see how we do?
There's only 165 12-ounce cups in a keg. That's weak. 165 out of 30 guys.
So instead of researching, what were you supposed to research? Yeah, you were supposed to research the Saudi Golf League, right?
Yeah, the Phil thing.
Okay, so the Phil thing. I had to do that as you're sitting there with some Busch Light in front of you. All you're researching is how many beers are in a keg.
Yeah, because
he was upset that we floated it.
No, you
165.
And I mean, you said keg and is like all of a sudden.
Let me do some research here. He's an analyst.
I mean. Christ, if he'd been in college and he had a math class, they would equated everything to Busch Light.
We use beer.
Yeah, use beer to add everything up, but he'd be all right.
Yeah,
I took math a few times just so I could do that.
Yeah. So we are going to try to get out and play some golf outdoors this week.
Thank God.
I opened my course today.
Yep.
You what?
I opened Geneseo.
You said you weren't going to open up this week.
Oh, he felt the pressure.
Did you get pressure?
It actually probably looked pretty good.
It looks pretty solid right now.
Yeah.
All right. I was just making sure you weren't getting me pressure.
No.
Okay. Just checking.
We're good to go. Anybody else?
Nope.
Nope.
Let's wrap this pig up.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Like.